Today's episode of Locked On MLB is brought to you by Locker Room. Download the Locker Room app from the iOS App Store and find one of our Locked On rooms. Locker Room, changing the way we talk about sports.
You are Locked On MLB. Your daily MLB podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Hello, baseball fans. Welcome to Locked On MLB, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where it's your team every day. This is the daily podcast. We talk about all of Major League Baseball. I'm your host, Paul Francis Sullivan. Please call me Sully. On today's episode, I respond to a negative review, and guess what I do? I cover the games that are going on today. And we have a segment from Locked On Yankees host, Stacy Gatsoulias, who had an incredible guest on her show. This show is available on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts. And when you're staying at home as we're trying to beat this thing, and we're getting really close, we're going to do it. Be sure to wear your mask, don't be stupid, and tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On MLB, or check out some of the other great shows on the Locked On Podcast Network, including Locked On Yankees with Stacy Gatsoulias, the wonderful host who dragged me into this whole Locked On world, much to my utter delight. Hey, you can follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Locked On MLB Pods. I'm your pal Sully. I'm at Sully Baseball on Twitter. Sully Baseball Podcast on Instagram. Hey, I got a negative review. I love reading my negative reviews. I don't know what that says about me, but I get a kick out of my negative reviews that I got on Apple Podcast. And this is from a proud listener who goes by the handle RyanCle1. So I assume it's a guy named Ryan who's a Cleveland fan, and he's number one. He gave me one star with the headline, "Doesn't even cover baseball." Bro. I love when people call me bro. Bro. "We just had opening day. Can we get your thoughts on the games instead of talking about random stuff the whole time?" Okay, I guess it will. It's funny, the week leading up to opening day, we had previews for every single team and bold predictions. And the day of opening day, I made my predictions for what was going to happen, which I think has some significance. And I confess, I did talk about the making of the In Memoriam video, but I also uploaded that podcast before the games were played. So it was tough for me to talk about it, but I've been talking about games all this week, and we're going to continue doing for it. So, bro, I hope this week has satisfied your desire to hear about some of the games that are being played, and let's get on to the action that happened on Thursday. Hey, guess what we had? No, seriously, guess what we had in the Chicago White Sox Kansas City Royals game? We had that rare spotting a dodo walking down the street occurrence, and that was Lance Lynn pitching for the Chicago White Sox, brought over to give them another good solid arm, and Lance Lynn threw, count 'em, 111 pitches. And along the way, he struck out 11 Kansas City Royals, let up only 5 hits, and walked none. And he threw, drumroll please, a complete game. That's right. You're allowed to do that. You're allowed to go 9. And I got to tell you something. I understand the metrics. I understand the analytics. But there is something satisfying about watching a pitcher go out in the 9th inning and complete what they started. When you look at the box score, like I'm looking at it right now, and you see 9 innings pitched. There you go. Everyone got the day off in the bullpen. There's something glorious about that. And this isn't just me being old man Sully, because I love relief pitchers, but, well, you know what? Why take him out? They obviously were not getting to him. And remember when Eloy Jimenez went down? And the thought was, oh my God, what's going to happen to this White Sox squad? Now, I thought that Vaughn was going to be the one to come in and pick up the tab, but do you know what? The White Sox had a hole in their lineup that your man, Mercedes, has filled big time, just as everybody predicted at the beginning of the year. This is a guy, he came into this season with one career at bat. He appeared in one game in 2020, and he is just, he got two more hits, including the second home run of the season, which means he is batting .556 with an OPS of 1.460. Granted, in eight games, I mean, he could slow down. This could be Sam Horn all over again. But I'll tell you what it also is when the White Sox are coming in and they're playing some of these games early on and they need that bat, they're probably going to have to make an acquisition for a bat. For an outfield bat and maybe even another infield bat. I don't know. Neither do you. I don't know if they can rely on Adam Eaton for the rest of the season. Okay? But for now, you've got your man Mercedes doing the job. And provided they get a couple of runs and Lance Lynn can come in and go nine, then my pick of the White Sox to win the American League Central doesn't look as bad as it did just a couple of days ago. So let's take a look at some of the other games that were going around there. Hey, remember when the Red Sox lost the first three games and looked absolutely dreadful? Well, now they're tied for first place. And they're playing the Baltimore Orioles, who they're tied for first place with. And they're playing them this weekend. Matt Harvey did not do particularly well in his Orioles debut. And Rodriguez came back. Heartwarming that he came back. Former Red Sox ace, World Series champ. Missed last year with the COVID symptoms. And he's, you know, he didn't dominate. He wasn't Lance Lynn, but the Red Sox got the win, and they're playing Baltimore. And look it, this was a season that started where the Red Sox looked like a minor league team. So the fact that they're even in first place briefly is not a bad thing. The A's, my other pick in the for a division title, well, they lost again. They had that walk off win the other day, but they lost again today. Again to Houston, 6-2. The Astros are 6-1. And let me tell you something. I do think the A's are going to turn it around eventually. And I do think the Astros will eventually come back down to earth. But the fact that the Astros have just beaten the A's like a drum early on, this is the sort of thing that when the A's are going to try to play catch-up later, you're going to look back and say, remember how badly they started? And before the 10th day of April, the A's had dropped four or five games head-to-head with Houston. That will come back to haunt them. Absolutely it will. And, you know, the pennants can't be won or lost in April, but the concentric circles, the ripples, can make a terrible effect on them. So the A's may be haunted by this. Now, they may not turn around. They may be bad this year. I don't know. But the fact of the matter is, you can't start off much worse than they have. Same for the Pirates, who blew a bunch of opportunities, including a bases-loaded situation late in the game. The Cubs are now over .500. Jake Arrieta won his second game. And Kimbrel, of course, made every Cub fan chew their fingernails to the bone. The Cubs are now 4-3, and the Pirates are now 1-6. Now, when you think baseball, you think Dunedin, Florida, which is where Toronto was playing, in their quasi-home opener, and the Angels came in and they won. The Angels are now 5-2. For all the great start that the Houston Astros have, the Angels are only one game behind them right now. And guess who was the big star? No, seriously, guess. Now, Ohtani wound up getting a big hit, and Fletcher went two for six with three runs batted in, including the go-ahead run in the 11th inning, but it was King Trout, single, double, home run. He just, you know, whether you're playing in Anaheim, Toronto, or in Dunedin, they do the job there. Now, remember we talked about Lance Lynn going nine? You think maybe the Brewers may start thinking about having their pitchers going nine? Woodruff had a no-hitter going through, what, four or five the other day? Maybe, I think it went into the sixth, and the bullpen squandered that lead. Well, today, Burns threw against the Cardinals. He let up only one hit. and no runs and no walks and struck out 9 batters over 6 innings. And then the bullpen coughed it up. Now, how many pitches did he throw? Burns threw 86 pitches. Some reason he couldn't throw the 7th? I mean, look, I swear I'm not being grumpy old man Sully, but when a guy is dominating and hasn't even hit the 80-pitch mark, why isn't he pitching the 7th inning? And the interesting thing is the Milwaukee Brewers have had this remarkable pitching, spectacular pitching, and they're 3-4. So that means that their offense and their bullpen have not been doing their share of the job. Again, I get it. It's 1 week into the season. But it is refreshing if you're a Milwaukee fan to know that the starting pitching is good. You just may have to have them go longer than 6 innings to make a difference. Now, of course, let's get down to the main game that happened. That was the Miami versus the Mets game. And again, super dramatic game that was, the Marlins bullpen did a solid job going into the 9th inning. And Walker pitched well for the Mets, but it was a home run by McNeil in the 9th inning that tied the game. But that's not what any of us are talking about. Bases loaded, and Conforto sees a called third strike, and he stuck his elbow out. And I don't know, maybe the ball grazed an atom of one of his jersey. But everybody, including Conforto and the umpire, everyone on the planet Earth knew that that was a called third strike and not a hit by pitch. But it will go down the record book as a hit by pitch. There's not one replay that bore even the slightest resemblance to a hit by pitch. Even the Mets announcers, classic homers, good announcers, classic homers, were like, no, this is Bush League. So keep that in mind, Mets. If you're getting frustrated down the stretch in September, saying, oh, we could use a game here or a game there, remember the 8th of April when Conforto was supposedly hit by a pitch and the gods gave you, handed you with culpa, mea culpa, the home plate umpire. Actually, his name is Ron, but I'm going to call him mea culpa. Handed the Mets a victory. The Mets don't always get fortune smiling on them. This was pretty blatant. Hey, we're going to do a quick break, but I'm going to come back with Stacey Gatsoulias' segment from her show, where she had a tremendous guest, someone who was let's face it, a superstar, David Cone. Hey, let's talk a little bit about Bet Online. It's the fastest and easiest way to bet all of your sports action. You know, college basketball may be over, but you got the NBA, you got NHL, and of course, you got Major League Baseball in full swing. Hey, the Oscars are coming up, and good luck, my buddy Jim Labrecht, who's nominated for an Oscar for the film Crip Camp. Well, you can bet on that, along with TV shows and reality TV on Bet Online. Real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline is your online sportsbook expert. Promo code LOCKEDON. Get all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes with a Locked On Today podcast. Host Peter Bukowski updates you on the latest news in every major sport with the help of our local experts. Follow the Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get podcasts. Hey, let me tell you what I'm going to do for this section here. Stacey Gatsoulias hosts the fantastic Locked On Yankees podcast. In fact, Stacey is my friend who got me into the Locked On Podcast Network. Thank you, Stacey, for introducing me to all the people here and bringing me aboard. I'm now in, this is season number 3. Your pal Sully doing Locked On MLB, and it was all because of Stacey. Well, Stacey got a great guest on her show, a fantastic guest, borderline Hall of Famer, former Cy Young Award winner, World Series champion multiple times with multiple teams, someone who was a star with both the Mets and the Yankees, and pulled in his Cy Young as a member of the Royals, won a title with the Blue Jays. I think you know who I'm talking about. I'm talking about David Cohn. And David Cohn, who is a Yankee broadcaster as well right now, joined Locked On Yankees. Now, here is part of the conversation. To listen to the whole thing, please go to Locked On Yankees and follow it anyway, because Stacy does a terrific job. So here's a little part of Stacy Gatsoulias' conversation with David Cohn.
Baseball has changed a lot in the last 20 years, and there are some broadcasters who embrace it, and you embrace it, and there are others who don't. So we appreciate the fact that baseball's not perfect right now. There are a lot of things that they can fix, but we enjoy the fact that you're not sitting on TV bitching and moaning and longing for the old days.
Oh, God, you're so right. Thank you for saying that. And I think about that a lot as well. I love the game of baseball, man. I love the players. I've always been a player's advocate. I was a union representative. I was an American League representative for 10 years. I've always advocated on behalf of the players. And, I love them. I love the game. I think we're seeing some of the best pitching I've ever seen in my life, Stacy. I mean, some of these pitches that are being thrown in there across the board, and some of these relievers that are throwing 100 miles an hour with regularity. I mean, I'm just fascinated by it. I find, I'm biased because I'm an ex-pitcher. I'm an old goat pitcher. But, for me, it's, I love watching it. I think there's a lot of good in the game, a lot of talent. And yes, you're right. There's some tweaking that can be done. There's some more action. Yes, there's things that can be done maybe to speed up the pace a little bit. But the overall product, I love.
You brought up a good point. I mean, it's unbelievable how many guys there are out there who can throw 100 with regularity, and these big, Randy Johnson was an anomaly. I mean, he still is because he was really big, but you have these guys who were 6'7", 6'8", pitching with regularity. And, Tyler Glasnow is a big dude, and he's a starter. You have relievers, Dellin Betances, Andrew Miller, all these guys who are 6'7", 6'8", throwing really hard pitches. And then you have the guys, now I can't even remember his name, and he pitched last night. He made the Yankees look like fools, and he wasn't even hitting 90 miles an hour.
Cesar Valdez.
Yes. And yeah. I just find it fascinating that, are we going to see pitchers hitting 105 miles an hour in 10 years or so? Are the guys just going to get bigger and stronger? Because it feels like that could happen.
You're right. That's the trend, and that that's the thing I noticed this year in doing my prep work for games and then, going down the rosters on pitchers. And you really have to follow pitchers year to year because there's big jumps in velocity because they're training for velocity. They're throwing weighted balls. Pitchers are pushing as far as training goes, they're pushing the system, much more than that has ever been done before. And I think that's why you're seeing more injuries. You see more Tommy John injuries and surgeries, but certainly the velocity year after year is being pushed. So I don't think we know what the limit is at this point. I know we're just going to see more and more hard throwers, a lot of relievers, and I equate it, Stacy. I remember for Yankee fans, go back to when Jabba Chamberlain first broke in with the Yankees. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden we thought, oh, we finally have one of those relievers that can throw 100 with a really, really good curveball or nasty slider. Well, everybody's got those guys now. Nick Nelson is Jabba Chamberlain right now. I mean, the stuff is over the last 20 years just jumped, especially in the bullpens.
Yeah, it's really, you see these guys pitch. And, for the Yankees so far, their pitching hasn't been the issue. It's been the hitting. But you see all these different types of pitchers and, the construction of the bullpens now, even the construction of the pitching staff overall, how much that's changed, even in the last, I would say even as recently as 5 years, with the idea of having the opener and having someone come in who only pitches 4 or 5 innings, and then you can bring the rest of the bullpen in. What is your thought of that process?
Yeah, I think it's a byproduct of what we just talked about, is that if you're a major league manager now or a major league pitching coach, you have two choices, and you have many more options. Do you push your starting pitcher to try to get him through 7 innings? Or do you bring one of those 100-mile-an-hour relief pitchers in sooner, and save your starter a little bit here and there? There's just many more options. Stacy, when I broke in with the Mets in the 80s, you know, our middle relievers were throwing 85 miles an hour or the 88 miles an hour. Right. You know, the middle reliever for the 1988 Mets was Doug Sisk. He was a sinker baller. Roger McDowell was a sinker baller. They were finesse pitchers. And, you know, so the starters had to throw more innings. And nowadays, they just don't have to, because you have somebody like the Blue Jays have, Julian Merriweather, who you've never heard of, come in the game throwing 100 miles an hour with a nasty slider and a really good changeup. It's just incredible. There's just more options for managers to use.
When I still wrote about baseball, I liked looking at people's pitching performances and going into the systems and looking at where they placed their pitches, what the velocity was, the sequence of the pitches. And, you know, when you have a guy who can throw in the upper 90s and then also throw something that's 86 miles an hour and just fool the batters, that's one of the, I think it's one of the most fun things to watch as a baseball viewer, when you have a guy that has that many options in his arsenal and he just embarrasses batters on a daily basis. That's always a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. I mean, I always thought I'm a little too biased because I'm a pitcher. So I like those pitcher centric things, but I find it fascinating too. I mean, the cat and mouse game between the pitchers and hitters nowadays, and how hard it is to hit.
Yeah.
You know, and giving these pitchers credit rather than saying, oh, why, how did you swing at that pitch? Or why can't you make more contact? Or you strike out too much. And yes, I get it, but look at that pitch. Right. It's hard to hit.
Well, it's funny. There was a conversation on Twitter yesterday because someone who covers the White Sox was complaining about the game that they had against the Mariners the other night, because I think it was 3 hours, 48 minutes. There were 25 strikeouts, only 9 walks. There wasn't a lot of contact. And, you know, there's a lot of complaining about that sort of thing. And I understand it, because you don't want to sit at a baseball game for 4 hours, especially if you're covering it. I get that. As a fan, we don't care that much about it because we're sitting at home. Usually if we're at the stadium, it's a bit of a slog. But if we're at home, it's not a big deal. But what can you do? You can't do anything about that. If these pitchers are that good and the hitters can't adjust to them, this is what's baseball is like right now. And we just, I guess, have to deal with it. I think maybe in... I was wondering what you were thinking about the idea of a pitch clock, because there are some pitchers who take way too long. And I joke about that, where they take so long to throw between pitches that they board the batters, and that's how the batters strike out. But what do you think about the idea of having a pitch clock regularly in MLB?
You know, I am very open-minded about that. You know, I know there's some people, there are some pitchers who don't like it. They don't want to feel rushed. You know, David Price of the Dodgers said something to that effect of, you know, we're taught by sports psychiatrists to slow the game down. And, and here we are trying to put a pitch clock in to make us rush. And, you know, but I do have an open mind. I think it's worked in the minor leagues. And you're right, Stacey, for those, you know, chronic abusers of time, shall we say, yes, that maybe they need to be sped up a little bit. We saw it with one of the Blue Jay relievers, Dolis. Dolis took 45 seconds between one pitch one time. I mean, he was averaging that much, over a half a minute in between pitches. And it was just too much. You know, it was just really over the line. So yeah, I'm open-minded about that. Maybe we do need to take another look at that.
You know about Built Bar? Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar ever. And it's new, it's improved, it's even more delicious. And it's got all these fantastic, amazing flavors, including my personal favorite, raspberry. You also have banana bread's a great one, mint brownie's a great one, German chocolate's a great one, caramel brownie, cookies and cream. Oh, there's so many great flavors, and you can mix and match them. The bars are covered in 100% chocolate, and they're soft and easy to chew. But they're also healthy. If you're a health-conscious person, you're trying to lose or maintain weight, and you want to indulge in a delicious treat, these are low-calorie, low-sugar, high-protein, high-fiber, and great for the keto diet. Let's take one of the flavors. Let's take cookies and cream. 17 grams of protein, 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar, 4 grams net carbs. Get a free cooler with purchase while supplies last. Go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON15. You'll get 15% off your next order. Use promo code LOCKEDON15 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com. Be a waiver wire winner with the Locked On Fantasy Baseball Podcast. It's a daily fantasy baseball podcast hosted by veteran fantasy analyst Scott Cullen, who uses data and nearly 2 decades of fantasy baseball experience to offer the strategies and waiver wire pickups that lead to league wins. Follow Locked On Fantasy Baseball on the Odyssey app or wherever you get podcasts. All right, we got a full slate of games coming up this weekend. First of all, we have the fight for supremacy in the American League East as the Red Sox and the Orioles, tied for first place going to the weekend, look to see which team will emerge victorious. Meanwhile, the Marlins and the Mets are going to be continuing to play. Let's see if they're any more hit by pitches there. The Yankees and the Rays, the two teams most people thought were going to win the American League East, are facing off. The Twins and the Mariners. The Twins are off to a terrific start. The Mariners, not so much, but you know they have flashes so far. We'll see if Kikuchi and folks can pitch well in Minnesota, as the Twins are hoping to, well, put together a nice winning streak. The Royals and the White Sox are facing off again. The White Sox bullpen is going to be rested and ready. Pitching from the Brewers has been terrific. It hasn't resulted in a winning record so far. The starting pitcher for the Cardinals has been hit or miss. We'll see what's going to happen in that series. The A's are looking to remove the bazooka from the foot that they've basically, or keep firing to make sure this opening the season remains as horrible as possible. They're hoping to turn that around. The Rockies and the Giants are playing. The Tigers and the Indians are facing off. The Pirates are looking to get off the mat and maybe steal a win against the Cubs. The Blue Jays are going to continue to play the Angels in Florida, while the Braves and the Phillies, two teams that one team everyone thought was going to be the NL East champion, and one is off to a spectacular start. The last two teams to win the World Series, the Dodgers and the Nationals, are going to be playing right down the street from where I'm recording this in Los Angeles. The Diamondbacks and the Reds. The Reds are red hot. The Reds have been terrific. We mentioned this the other day, and now we're going to see if they can build upon that 5-1 record. Meanwhile, the Padres are going to be playing the Rangers, and I'm going to make a prediction. I'm going to predict that Joe Musgrove will throw the first no-hitter by a San Diego Padres pitcher in franchise history. You can write that down. And you can write down the fact that we covered as many games as possible. I hope that's enough for my Cleveland fan friend who wasn't happy with how I handled things last Friday. Hey, follow us on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. And you can follow us on Twitter at LockedOnMLBPods. I'm your pal Sully. I'm at Sully Baseball. Wrapping up the week and looking forward to the weekend and giving thanks to Stacey Gatsoulias in a terrific interview with David Cone. So cool to hear that. This is Locked On MLB for the 9th day of April 2021. I'm yours, Paul Francis Sullivan. Please call me Sully.